Today's segment
Love
of the McGirt Show Credit Repair Education Services, celebrating over 18 years of renewing, rebuilding, and restoring consumers' credit all over the nation. If you have credit issues, check them out today at youtube.com/TheMcGirt, as well as their Facebook consumer advocacy group at facebook.com/groups/HGLaw. Their local number is 910-813-8525. Their email is crestservices@outlook.com. They are A-plus rated by the Business Bureau 18 years consecutive.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today to the McGirt Show Real Media on blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt. We're on YouTube.com, The McGirt, blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt, Instagram, The McGirt Show, Facebook, Bobby Dell McGirt, LinkedIn, Bobby Dell McGirt, Google Hangout. We're so happy to have with us today a very wonderful entrepreneur and mental health advocate all the way from Houston, Texas, Mr. Tony Alexander, and we want to thank y'all for tuning in today at area code 619-924-8098. And we also want to thank Mr. Tony Alexander for taking time out of his busy schedule to be a guest on the McGirt Show Global Media today. And welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Kind of share with the world who Mr. Tony Alexander is. Give us your background, like where you're from or where you were born at and all that good stuff.
Love it. Well, definitely I am a man of many hats, and you'll definitely learn that. But I grew up in a small town called Tallulah, Louisiana. It's located right on I-20, maybe about 10 to 12 miles from outside of Mississippi. I spent 10 years in the military, both active and active reserve. I also spent 15 years in corporate America, working for the largest energy chain in the world. In addition to that, 10 years as an entrepreneur and additional 10 years as an entrepreneur and 12 years as a mental health advocate. I love just to be that positive light in the world, and I've had a lot of people to kind of help me along the way that I'm sure we will get into, but definitely a man of God, and just happy again for you having me here on the show.
We're happy to have you, and we want to also thank you for your service to our country.
Oh, you're welcome. Freedom isn't free. I tell people that all the time.
So true. If you don't mind me asking, what branch of the service did you serve in?
I served in the Army, and I was a nuclear biological chemical specialist, which is called NBC or CRBN.
Got it. Awesome. That is awesome. Kind of share with us, what was it that inspired you or motivated you to do what you currently do now?
Well, I can tell you, I've had a lot of inspiration, but the one thing that truly inspired me to do what I do now takes me back to my early childhood, and that's growing up with 13 of us with an absentee mother and father, which my grandmother raised 13 of us in a single-bedroom or three-bedroom home. And with that, I was a straight A student all the way through school, graduated valedictorian. But the one thing that I didn't do right after graduating was going to college. And for me, it was more of knowing that my grandmother wouldn't be able to afford some of the different necessities needed. So at the time, I had been working from the age of 15. I was actually working at a pizza restaurant, and upon graduating, the owners agreed to give me my own restaurant, and so that means I was going to go from making $8.25 an hour to $10 an hour as a general manager. Now, mind you, upon graduating, I had all kinds of scholarships to a lot of prestigious universities, such as Morehouse, Georgetown, Hampton University, Princeton, you name it. But again, it was, I haven't seen anyone go to college before me. And so upon graduating, I can remember my uncle coming home maybe 1 year after I had graduated. He literally came up to the restaurant where I was working, something, but you're so much better than this. And with that, you know, we had a conversation. I talked to him about my fears, you know, growing up in poverty. No one had ever gone to college before. But what he did was I started to squeeze that lemon that day, and the very next day, I actually joined the military. And so I have to say my uncle was definitely my inspiration to get me started on the path of what I do today.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Kind of go into giving us a little inside view of you, like somebody that embodied that entrepreneurial mindset already, but being an entrepreneur type person, how was it for you being in the military? Can you kind of take us into that?
It was difficult being in the military. You know, I'm not going to lie there, but I can tell you the benefits and everything were truly remarkable. I can remember being very upset with my recruiter because I didn't get a sign-on bonus. And he told me, he said, you got to thank me for this later. And at the time, I ended up getting a college fund and a college kicker. So while all my friends were spending, you know, $20,000 and $30,000 as bonuses, I was upset because I didn't. And needless to say, about 9 years later into the military, I actually did call him up and thank him because in addition to getting my GI Bill, I was then awarded another $7,000 a month to go to school. So it was kind of like, okay, he was really looking out for me. He saw something in me as well that I didn't see. But the military taught me responsibility. It taught me dedication. Just being honest with myself and embracing my gifts. And we don't get to do that a lot. And to become an entrepreneur, you definitely need discipline. You need grit. You need perseverance. You need to persist. You need all that and above. And what happened for me, or what changed the entrepreneurial mindset, are the things that happened to me in corporate America. And there weren't any advocates for me. So whether this was related to race, whether this was related to unfair promotion practices, I didn't want to just be that person that says, okay, this happened to me. I wanted to find out to prevent it from happening to me again, and in addition to that, how to prevent it from happening to other people. So the military taught me to be a temperate radical, so just enough to rock the boat when you don't rock yourself out of it. And so I would really, that's how I ended up opening up my HR law consulting firm. In addition to that, I do business consulting and mentoring as well. But I have to give that foundation to the military for me being able to be a voice and understanding that success wasn't going to come overnight.
That's true. So true. So true. And that's awesome because it lets you, at the end of the day, you took what you learned and then you have sold that into the lives of others.
Absolutely.
So what do you see on your bucket list? If now we're into a new phase of society, the world, shall we say. What do you see for Mr. Tony Alexander for your bucket list?
Wow. One big thing that I have right now, one audacious goal, and I'm actually partnering with someone on it, but we want to positively impact 1 million male lives in 2021. And we're going to do this through whether it's providing scholarships, whether it's providing mentoring, but we want to actually touch 1 million black male lives in order to prevail and take the stigma away from black men in America. Goals are meant to be audacious, and everyone tells me that's a lofty goal, but I truly believe that we can do it. Believe it or not, even haven't been in the military, I've never been scuba diving, so scuba diving is definitely on my list, my bucket list, in addition to skydiving. I've done it a couple times, but I feel as I get a little older, I want to challenge myself a little bit more and not, become caught up in, hey, I've already done that before, or to bounce forward. So those things on the list.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Kind of share with us, what do you believe would be that, I know we all have a, but that one recent incident that was like a limit of life, that it was there to try to throw you behind or throw you off course, but you didn't let it stop you. You turned that limit into lemonade.
I can tell you, having worked for the largest pharmacy company in the world organization, it was very difficult, and there weren't a lot of people looking like me in that space. I even had the opportunity of going over to London and helping this organization actually become the first largest global pharmacy in the world. So I spent some time in London, began to learn about all of these different things, and at the time I was in middle of level management. And so having being in that space and then helping to launch this initiative and knowing that, you know, part of this initiative and the time I spent in London was going to determine if these two chains was going to merge, it was a lot of pressure on my back. And I can tell you, when the CEOs and the CFOs came over to visit me at my pharmacy, it was nerve-wracking, but it was almost like a song and dance. So I had to really wow these executives. And on that very day, unfortunately, my mother had passed. So I had to really make sure that I wore a mask. It was difficult. But I got through the situation. I learned maybe about a month later, they were very impressed with it. And, I was on cloud nine. Well, then this next level position came open within the company. And I interviewed for the position, did everything I was supposed to do, and I was told a decision was going to be made on Monday. So that Monday, I received a call from the hiring manager and told me the position was mine and a matter of when I could start. Very excited, told everyone. Probably that Wednesday, now the same position I was applying for, I happened to be scrolling through Facebook, and lo and behold, there was someone else on Facebook declaring they had the position. So I immediately called the hiring manager and said, hey, what's going on? Is this AM or what's going on? And he says, I had got a chance to call you, but I decided to go with another candidate. And I was heartbroken because I found my credentials outweighed his by the farthest. And the only difference was he was a white guy, I was a black guy. That was the only difference. And not to mention that, I just helped you close the world's first largest global pharmacy deal. But it broke me and I got myself down. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to figure out where this went wrong and not let it happen again. I soaked for about 2 to 3 months, and then I enrolled myself in law school. And with that, I was fortunate enough to have a first-line supervisor who truly believed in me. And he helped me work out my work schedule with my school schedule until all the way up to the point until I got my JD. And the whole time that I was doing that, I was consulting other people inside the organization that was doing the same thing. So that was my lemon to lemonade moment, because it was something that was happening more and more in the organization, but no one was saying anything or doing anything about it.
Wow. I want to go into a little bit how you shared your powerful experience of how you didn't have your mother and father in your life. So to help inspire others, who was, without having that in your life, who would you be the role model, would you say?
I would say my uncle Kelvin was my role model. We grew up more like brothers. But as I got older and older in life, or even grew up through the teenage years and in my 20s, I began to learn around things about mentorship. Abby years, I've been able to pick up people in very prominent places as mentors. It could have meant me sending them an email. It could have been being on LinkedIn and Facebook and those things and sharing their posts. But my uncle definitely early in life was, and still is, my role model. He's an entrepreneur as well. And, you know, sometimes you have to look out into the community and understand and find those people that exhibit what you want to do. Because I can say for me early on, the reason that I didn't take those scholarships or the reason that I continued to work at that restaurant, I didn't have access to lawyers. I didn't have access to pharmacists. I didn't have access to doctors. So I couldn't see myself being something that I didn't have access to because I had no one to ask those questions to. So definitely my uncle, and there's a whole slew now to this day. I have mentor support, different things, whether it's spiritual, business, life coach, all of those different things, and I've been truly blessed with all of them.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And I'm glad you shared it because it gives people that hope of, you know, our starting point doesn't have to be the same as our destiny.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. Because, you know, there's a certain strength in adversity, and we have to take the lesson that adversity is teaching us. And we can either do two things. We can take it and we can deal with it, like you said, lemon to lemonade, or we can sit there and allow it to destroy us. And, you know, I wasn't going to allow it to destroy me, and I urge, you know, everyone at the sound of my voice, don't allow it to destroy you. You need to take the lesson from it and move on. You can fall down, but you just keep getting back up. Fall down a million times, get up a million times. You can do it.
It's so true. It is so true, and you spoke a powerful truth. And I want to also take the opportunity to help kind of plug and promote your business. Kind of take us into, if I was hypothetically your client answering into your office or going into a webinar for your consulting services, what can I expect to receive from your consulting services from your business? When I hook up with your consulting program and I need your consultant, what am I in expectation of receiving?
Well, one, you're going to be definitely be wowed by the services that we offer. So we're called SGI Services, and that stands for Structured, Growth, and Intentional. And so the GI actually represents a soldier, which is a GI, and intentional. Anything that we're going to do that you come to us with, we're going to have intentional results. So one of the biggest things or biggest aspects that I work with, one is around business startup, helping you to understand how to write a business plan, how to write a marketing plan, how to get investors, those different things there. Then on the other side of that, we work with organizations or even individuals that are running into some aspect of employment law. And truly, most of those cases, honestly, I will take on pro bono, just depending because I've been in that situation, not being able to afford an attorney, especially when you feel that you've been done wrong based on that. But we actually consult in all aspects of employment law, help write demand letters, anything you need to that. And then, of course, there's the mentoring section of the business. And that's where I have a select group of mentors, mentees all across the world. And I literally get them together in groups about once a month, and we discuss anything from career development to branding to social media, anything that my mentees need in order to propel themselves. So, you know, you kind of get a lot. One, and that's kind of why we call it structured, growth, and intentional, because we lay things out. We do 15-minute discovery calls for anyone that's listening, and with that, we decide on a plan, of course, what are going to be your needs.
Awesome. And kind of share with us, like, some of the things you observe when you deal with clients overall. You see a lot of.
I see a lot of, unfortunately, is lack of preparation. And when I say that, these can be consumers or clients that are 2 to 3 years in their business and not seeing revenue. a business plan in place. You know, they thought, okay, I can just cut and copy and paste this template, turn it into whomever I'm going to get a loan from, and it's going to work, not understanding that you truly need a business plan. And COVID has truly proven that for many factors, which COVID has also increased the revenue of my business because of this, because of people not knowing how to pivot. In addition to that, I also see people not knowing what their rights are. Or people think they know what their rights are. You know, they might Google something and it comes up and they say, oh, my employer can't fire me because of this, or they can't do X, Y, and Z. And it's just the way that they interpret the law wrong, right? Also, in addition, just piggybacking back on the business, is people not starting off their business with the appropriate amount of capital. And within 2 to 3 years, the business is unfortunately meeting closed doors. And that's one of the worst things for me when looking at the operating statements and working with the client, having to recommend closing the doors. And so my goal is, even with those clients, if they decide to move forward, is helping them to revamp, or I call it rehab their business or rehab their career and go from there. And one last thing, and I'll, because I've lived a lot of services.
That's fine.
But it's a career rehab, and we'll be helping people strip down their career to get them to the C-suite or S-suite or middle-level management, wherever they want to be in their career, but helping them to strategically put a plan in place to get there, because many organizations say they develop or they invest in talent management, but their plans, unfortunately, are very biased. So therefore, I help clients to come up with a very structured and growth development plan to help them reach that next level, either in their organization or help them find a spot outside of their organization that is going to value their values. So.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And I think you shared something that people need to know these things, because a lot of times you see people, they love the title of being the president and CEO, but sometimes they're the president and CEO of a shambles because they don't have the very things you talked about when it comes to structure.
Oh, yes, definitely. You just can't jump out there willy-nilly, as we say. But you definitely need structure, and you have to write it down, because anything that isn't written down, I don't consider it done, or will it get done. So the structure is so important, because it's easy to go into the IRS website and get an EIN and say, guess what, I'm an LLC, I'm a business owner. But it's a whole different process when you are actually an entrepreneur and you have people depending on you to keep the lights on and put food on the table. You're just a little different there.
That's true. That's so true. In your opinion, you know, we're seeing this a lot in social media, even on there's a website I go to called Black Economics or Economy. .com, should I say, economics, Black Economics. You see a lot of this that we're seeing, like, people are getting the funding through angel investors, or people see it being that we're dealing with the pandemic, and they jump on board, and they, you know, sometimes they're 14 years old, and it's a lemonade stand, or they're doing some type of app thing. What is the difference? What are they doing different, or what is it? Are they just lucky, or the timing is right?
It's a mixture of both, and it's funny because I just got off of a webinar and we were talking about venture capitalists as well as angel investors. But the one thing that, you know, and I hate to say it, but I think people need to know, because when you see stuff like that as an entrepreneur, it can make you feel like a failure, unfortunately. You feel like, well, how did they get it? But one of the statistics that we were talking about, 68% of those aren't true.
Okay, got it.
Aren't true. 68% of those aren't true, because then what it does is it's looking to get this particular company exposure.
Okay.
It's being used to get more crowdfunders to provide more income into the crowdfunding initiative, or it's used to find angel investors. companies. But in addition to that, just pull up their business and income statement and those types of things, and you can see if that money really exists. So, you know, and I had to learn that the hard way, because I was, when I started off early on, like, why can't an investor just fall out of the sky for me, right?
Yes.
So I think that's very important, because, and then too, you can be comparing your one to someone else's 100. So, but just remember, you know, with that, it's 68%. It's a marketing gimmick.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in response to your answer, you're absolutely right, because, and I know a lot of people are gonna be shocked when I say this. I know this because I did it. I subscribed to Black Enterprise for years, and they would have these awesome success stories of so-and-so, worth so many millions of dollars, and then 2 years or sometimes a year after you read the article in the current issue, the business number is disconnected. They're out of business. So that is so true. I see it all the time. They have this big cover picture, or they're featured in the article, and you can, I can use myself for example. I've had a car lot, registered in the state of North Carolina, doing awesome. I bought my first house off of it. I could not only sell you a car, but also if you were the person, you couldn't afford, you didn't have a credit card to go to the airport to rent a car, you bring me $350, your copy of your light bill, your license, we put you in a car to rent for the weekend and go to Aunt Martha's funeral or Miss Mary's birthday party, wherever you're going, for the weekend, you know. And I made a good amount of money before I ever got into this stuff I'm doing now. And I was never featured in those articles. But a lot of, like you, I want to let people know what you're saying is facts, because you can read those stories like in Black Enterprise, Black Economics. You can read it on they got a new one, Afrotech.com. And it'd be some little 12-year-old guy who, his app is doing this, that, and the other. And then you call it, or you look it up, or you Google it about a year from now, all this stuff is disconnected. You can't even find it.
Well, I would even give you one more tip or one better on that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at, like, entrepreneurs or some of these 40s under 40, now the difference between the, or even Black Enterprise, the difference between the a journalist selecting to write an article on one, or that person paying a contributor to write the article. So anytime you look at the article and it says contributor, and each magazine and each website will have their disclosure. Say I get on to entrepreneur.com and I want to talk about all of my success stories, and they decided to feature me, and I'm doing air quotes, but if you look right under the article, it says contributor. That means I have paid this person to write this article on me.
I didn't know that. Wow.
So, but anytime it's a journalist, that magazine has chosen to write an article on that person. So you'll be surprised. And I know a couple people, and I won't throw anyone out there in the space, but they go back and forth, write articles on each other. So these are the things that, again, we get discouraged as entrepreneurs, because we think that what we see much better than us, and we don't know. We think they have a secret sauce, and unfortunately, it's just a facade.
It's so true, because I'm one of those people that fall in the category you just mentioned. I would see this stuff, and I would get so discouraged. I'm like, what am I out here doing, making lemonade or something? And it was like I was intentionally being ignored. I think I got one covered in my local newspaper when one of the local newspaper articles, they saw what we were doing, how we had blossomed. We went from, when I started my call out, I had one ugly beard century, and then next thing you know, they saw how we had all these cars out here. And really what had happened, we started slowly building the business up. and I grew it and stayed diligent, and then they featured us in the local Wilson. I still have a copy of the article, City Auto Sales of Sales, North Carolina. And so it does, it makes you very envious, like, what am I here doing, smoking crack? Or, well, why am I not getting the coverage? Or am I being essentially blacklisted or ignored when you're doing all the right stuff, but it's like your stuff never gets covered, and then somebody comes along on the media, it'd be the most silliest, probably irrelevant thing, but it takes off on you.
Right. Is that true?
Wow. Wow. So how were you able to find out about the contributors, the difference in a contributor and the journalist that actually is covering it?
Me stumbling across, it actually was accidentally, but it was me knowing two different, let's say colleagues or people in the same space, and finding that I saw one write up one article on the other, and then I saw the other write up an article on the other 30 days later. And, you know, me asking them, like, wait, well, you know, when did you become a journalist? Or they said, well, I'm not a journalist, I'm a contributor. Okay, so I didn't know there was a difference. I said, what's a contributor? I contribute content, which means I don't get paid for it. I'm like, okay. So I asked the other one the same thing. So then I actually reached out to the website themselves. And actually, this was the Forbes Inc. website. And I asked them, how do you become a contributor and how does that work? And they explained the whole process to me, that it was a volunteer basis. You have to have at least 1 year of some sort of journalist writing, and you pay, or if you're writing on yourself or someone else's writing, it's about $150 a night write up. And that was pretty much it. That's how I discovered it. And it was just because I knew two different people, and I found it odd that one had written an article 1 month on the other, and then the other one vice versa. So it made me curious, and I'm a very curious person.
I know, but I can relate to that as well. That is awesome. That is awesome. And I'm glad you did, because a lot of people were like me, that we didn't know, but I've seen it. I've seen it'll say contributor, and then it'll say journalist or reporting by. So that's totally two different things, or three different things, should I say. So that's an eye-opener right there.
There you go.
Ooh, knowledge is power. I'm going to give you a chance to do two things. I want you to share how people can contact your business or reach out to you on social media, but I also want you to leave us with a word of empowerment that you want to leave with the listeners, and then we'll close it out. Kind of share how people can reach you on social media, as well as, or how they can reach your businesses or whatever you want to provide on that part. But also close us out with like a word of empowerment.
Absolutely. So on social media website, Facebook, SGI Services, which is also the leader within me. My website is structuredgi-services.com. On Twitter, I am Agent for Change. I am forever an agent of change. So on Twitter. On Instagram, I am Measured Man. And on LinkedIn, I'm Tony Alexander. As far as a word of advice or encouragement, the biggest thing I can give or say that I think is more powerful is embrace the adversity. It's not there to break you. It's there to build you. There's a certain type of strength in adversity. Each time you fall down, get back up and learn from your lessons, because guess what? The burdens are bigger than, or aren't as big as your blessings. So those are my words for you.
That is awesome. And Mr. Tony Alexander, you have a VIP open invitation to come back anytime. I'm telling you that right now. You shared such powerful information. People need to know, entrepreneurs as well as everyday people that we're in this new phase of our journey in society and in the world. This is a powerful way to start off, to know, you know, you look what you overcame.
came and you didn't let it stop you. And I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a guest on the McGirt Show. And I'm grateful to be connected with you on social media. And if you guys are out there, you're looking to start your own business, you want to know how to do it right and get it done effectively. And like you said, with intention to be the best, this is the guy you need to reach out to. And again, I thank everybody for tuning in to listen. You can catch us every week on blogtalkradio.com/McGirt, as well as on archive on 365, 247, I call it, or 24/7, some people say. You can email us at themcgirtshow@outlook.com. The call-in listener line for the studio is area code 619-924-0898. And again, Mr. Alexander, I thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be a guest on the show, and I hope all the best.
Today's segment of the McGirt Show Global Media was brought to you in part by Credit Repair Education Services, celebrating over 18 years of renewing, rebuilding, and restoring consumer credit all over the country. Check them out today at youtube.com/TheMcGirt, as well as facebook.com/groups/HG Law. You'll be glad you did.